Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Later in the program, Austin Meek of The Athletic will be joining us to talk about the Big Ten. Oregon preparing to play against Ohio State. Meek covers Michigan, but we're going to bring him on to talk about what's going on in Big Ten country. Jim Etzel, Sport Oregon. He's the guy when it comes to sports, our state, and the entity previously known as the Oregon Sports Authority. Etzel joining us now. How has this been for your organization, this pandemic?
It's been a strange ride, but we stayed focused, that's for sure.
Lost an NCAA regional on the women's side. Does Portland get that back, or is that to be determined?
The only way, quote-unquote, to get it back is to win one in the next bid cycle. So because they come in four-year cycles, this current cycle we're in wraps up after the 22 season. So next year we aren't hosting any NC2A basketball. In 2022, we host men's first and second round. We have submitted bids for a four-year cycle, 23 through 26, where we bid for men's regional basketball championship, women's regional championship, men's first and second round, and even a volleyball Final Four. And that's a separate bid package to the one we're doing for the women's basketball Final Four, which we're bidding for in 25 or 26. So I guess if there was, quote unquote, a make good, and I don't think they're thinking that way, we would get another regional in at maybe 23, 24, or if we were fortunate to win the Final Four, we could get it in one of the other years, 25 or 26. So we're pretty optimistic that we'll be successful. This past four-year cycle, we were the only major market to get awarded events in three out of the 4 years in men's and women's basketball. So I think they like coming to Portland, and we'll try to do the same thing, win three or four.
I'm looking at sort of what's going to happen with the NBA's startup and then college football. And, of course, I'm looking around the world to see what's happening. Where are the eyes of Jim Etzel when it comes to events?
We are, so much out there is out of our control. But we're just focused on what do we have to do to position our organization to land opportunities for the marketplace, for the state, and also what can we do to help our existing events that are annual events, whether it's LPGA golf or like the Winco Open or Portland Classic or, the IndyCar races in September. How can we help those promoters navigate to at least a minimum that they can have the event with or without spectators? And then if it is with spectators, what are the guidelines? And so we're working with them and the state on that, along with the franchises and universities also. So that's really a really important place for us to be right now is how do we get back? If you want to call it a facilitator or a portal role with in between that group and state government, that's the lane that we're in right now.
One of the things that I've wrestled with, and I think to a larger extent the leagues are wrestling with in professional and college sports, is can they safely have fans inside the stadium? When you do your events, I have to think, Jim, that a big piece of that is for you the fans in the stadium and that experience.
Well, it's pretty critical to the economic models, especially for for the, you know, the properties that don't have big national television contracts. At the same time, it's amazing. Everybody in this conversation wants to be responsible and safe, no matter what the financial pressures are, because no one wants to be the one that launched the boomerang or was, quote unquote, the game zero that, you know, Northern Italy experienced that kind of launched them into their, you know, the problems they had there with the pandemic. So there's extreme caution, but there also is, you know, a strong desire to get back to, we ought to start somewhere with fans. And what that percentage is of the potential capacity is there's a lot of conversations, both from a facility management standpoint of the biggest architects and kind of crowd flow experts in the nation. A lot of them are in Kansas City, which where most of the big sports architecture firms are, like 360 and Populous, HOK, et cetera. I've been on numerous national calls with those, and they're talking about, you know, what's the maximum percentage you can get into a facility and maintain social distancing. You know, so many variables from facility to facility. You could have 20,000 seat arenas, and every one of them is a little bit different because of their design elements, either outside the stadium or arena or inside it that cause variances. There's not one exact rule of thumb that can be applied across from facility to facility. You know, there are some big differences indoor versus outdoor. You know, it's really from day to day, week to week, it changes. And it's a really interesting, quick moving stream, if you want to call it to navigate.
CEO of Sport Oregon, Jim Etzel, is our guest. When it comes to sort of the bid process, Oregon State and Oregon have both had some budget cuts. They lost some staff in their athletic departments. What's the net effect to Sport Oregon in the bid process when that happens?
We're ready to take on whatever portion of the load we have to take on. Oregon State is our host institution for the bid cycles around basketball for Final Four and also the regionals and so forth. The people we've been working with very closely in the department are still there, but that doesn't mean that they have the same amount of bandwidth they used to have. They got more piled on their plate. And at University of Oregon, we're working with them on a volleyball Final Four bid, same situation. We just step up and take on as much as we're asked to take on. That's kind of the role and attitude we take to the table.
Now, the women's basketball Final Four bid process, did it get derailed by the pandemic or get put on hold, or where is that?
The mechanics of it have been derailed or changed in that in August we were supposed to host the women's basketball championship committee in Portland for a site visit. Each of the four cities that are a finalist were going to host in late July through the end of August. That was really only going to be a 24 to 36 hour visit, but pretty packed and moving pretty quickly through the city from facilities to hotels to different venues and areas of the community that would play into the successful staging of an event. That now is going to be virtual, and that will be that virtual site visit we will build. And it's going to be a pretty big lift. It's a lot more work than hosting them in person. Hosting in person was going to be a lot of work and a lot of real detailed planning and literally by the minute and by what street we drive down and all that. This one will be different. So that's changed. I guess you could say we got an opportunity to showcase the best of Portland and Oregon when it's virtual. We'll make the most of it. And then the same thing, the other change was we were supposed to go to Indianapolis the last week of September to make basically a 90-minute presentation on why Portland, Oregon should host a Final Four. And that now has become virtual. That'll be interesting. But we got, you know, great creative talent in the town that we're going to lead into. We got a lot of good thoughts around it with our partners, you know, at Travel Portland and at the Blazers and at Oregon State. So I think we're up to the task. I think there's we're going to get pretty creative with it.
Yeah, when you have to do a virtual presentation, I have to think that you're going on track record and, hey, by the way, we did a great job with the regional. How important was it to have that regional? What was it 2 years ago?
2 years ago, huge, no doubt about it. To have the most successful Western regional that close to our bid presentation, I think it's a big reason why we were taken so seriously, because we were a late entrant into the game last year, last April, when we declared after the Final Four last year that we wanted in. Most of the other bidders had declared earlier than that. And they took it seriously because of the success. And then what was happening, or what would happen this year, we were far, far more ticket sales in advance. I think we had 35 or 40% higher sales on leading into the event this year than we did the year prior. And, you know, we can only dream, but if it had played out as some of the prognosticators had said, it would have been in Oregon. And if UConn had been number two seed and they both had advanced through that bracket, I can only imagine what Oregon, UConn, or heck, if Oregon State was in there, a Civil War regional final, I think we would have sold out Moda Center. And I know we would have, but it didn't happen. But I think people sense what this marketplace brings, especially to women's athletics.
Jim Edsall with us, Sport Oregon. You know, and for people who don't know, Jim, when you took over the entity, you rebranded it. It was Oregon Sports Authority. You probably stopped getting phone calls for people asking for tennis rackets and shoes and stuff. But you are focused now. How big is the staff now? How has it grown under your leadership?
Well, our staff has doubled since I came on board 2.5 years ago. But the biggest jump was actually this past January. And we went from 5 to 8 full-time, and we restructured the organization. We added a very specific department around sports tourism to work 24/7 around landing opportunities, whether it was a women's basketball Final Four, or it was a youth softball or volleyball tournament around the state. So that's really core to our mission. We're building an events portfolio, owned events portfolio, that has a return on mission and hopefully a return on investment to help us grow our ability budget-wise to do more things in the community. So we built an events team, and then we also have a strategic partnership department now too. And then, you know, that whole team played together on court for 3 or 4 weeks. Because some people started in early January, some started the second week of February, and then kaboom, you know, COVID hit. But I will say, working remotely, the biggest benefit to it has been, I think our team is more close-knit than it was when you kind of go into each other's homes every day for hour or two-hour-long calls, work calls on Zoom. You get it. I think the personal actions have increased, and most of all, the accountability, personal accountability to your teammates. So our team's still intact. And, you know, even though revenue's gotten cut this year, we've managed our way through this thing. We took across the board 20% pay cut, all of us, through the end of the year. You know, we're grinding on keeping that revenue level up so we can support our efforts. The good thing is our partners, you know, we have 130 plus corporations and individuals that financially support us each year with membership fees, and they all really believe in our mission. So that's been gratifying. A few of them have had problems themselves, and we have empathy. We're working with them on it. But, it's been encouraging, and our board's been really strong in their leadership. They want to hold the course. We're fortunate to have some reserves. We don't want to dip into those, but it gives us a little bit of a safety net, because we want to be at 100% when we come out of this thing, because we don't want to lose the momentum we've worked so hard to build.
When you say come out of this thing, something comes to mind, because I think back to 2008 and really 2009 and sort of the recovery and how businesses and sponsors and events really struggled coming out of that because there just wasn't that extra income. I feel with some of the stimulus stuff going on, I'm watching small businesses and medium-sized businesses and large corporations, and maybe I'm out of touch, but I feel like they're doing better than they did coming out of 2008 as to this point right now. Now it could turn, but does that make sense? Do you see that same thing?
At some levels, yes. I think if it maybe outside of the hospitality industry, I mean, and during the Great Recession, you know, yeah, there's restaurants and hospitality businesses that went out of business, but they were able to stay open for business if they had people to support it. And right now, there's probably people out there willing to support, but there's you can't open your restaurant, you know. So there is – it's a little bit different, but I do think that – I think sports will come back strong. You know, I think there will be a little bit of a drag on attendance. I think there'll be some hesitancy, but I will say if you gave Duck fans the option, oh, you know, the responsible thing would be to stay at home on September 12th. I think 98% of them would rationalize, no, I'm going to the game. I'm going to take the risk that one day to see that game. Let's be honest. But I think on other games there might be, you know, if you left it up to the fans. But, you know, yeah, there have been a lot of national surveys and from some pretty reputable ones that have said, you know, it's going to take a while for fans to come back. I think, you know, when we see TV ratings for what's come on so far, they've been through the roof. So people that there's an insatiable desire to consume sports right now, I think there's some people that do feel comfortable about going back to games, whether that's the right thing or not at this time. I think we know it's not the right thing right now, but at some point we are going to live with this virus, and it's how we are equipped to manage through the spikes and not shut everything down.
Jim Edsall, Sport Oregon, is with us. Hey, I appreciate your time, Jim. I know you're busy. You got a team that's working, and wish you the best, and excited to see how the Final Four thing goes. So good luck with it.
Yeah, I want to add one thing, if you give me the opportunity.
Yeah, of course.
We're going to start a fundraiser next week. So check our social channels on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, et cetera. But 40 years ago, there was a guy named Dave McGilvery that ran by himself across the country from Medford, Oregon to Medford, Massachusetts, which was his hometown. He's been for the last 38 years been the race director for the Boston Marathon. He started this virtual deal. He's done all these. He did that run to raise money for the Jimmy Fund in cancer. And it took him 80 days to run across the country. It's 3,452 miles. So he started this national relay. And so Sport Oregon's putting together a team where I have 20 members. I'm going to run in it. I'm going to run 172 miles over 80 days. I'm not a real runner. I mean, I'm in shape and I work out, but I don't run. But we're going to build this and get people pledges. It's going to benefit our foundation, but we're also going to have a co-beneficiary in Playworks, which is a national charity, but a local chapter here that gets kids, you know, to play and in a really positive way. They got some great programs at schools, especially at the grade school level. You know, thinking about kids not being able to go to school, they're not going to PE class, they're not getting recess time. That doesn't help with all the bad trends with physical inactivity with our youth. And so we thought it'd be a good way to raise profile, raise a few good dollars for it. So just if your listeners could check out our social sites next week, it'd be great. And if they want to jump in and join us on the team or start, hopefully we get so many people on sign up. We have to have multiple Sport Oregon teams. But if they want to sponsor us, we're going to raise some good dollars for good programs in the community.
I've got listeners like crazy asking me how your dad's doing. For people who don't know, Joe Edsall, a longtime athletic director, oversaw the construction of Child Center and a lot of big projects there. How's dad doing?
He's hanging in there. I was over there Sunday, took him dinner, him and my mom. They're stir crazy because we've had them on lockdown. Their dad's 82, going to be 83 here in 2 weeks. He watches a lot of sports. He goes to all my nephew's games, his grandkids' games, and he missed out on that completion of his youngest grandson's senior year of playing baseball and defending the state title. But he's always going to pilot games and has games on TV. Every time I walk in, he's watching Major League Baseball reruns or NBA reruns and stuff. And God bless my mom. She sits there and watches with him. But he's doing well. Thanks for asking.
You bet. Jim Edsel, Sport Oregon. Thank you, Jim.
All right. Thanks, John.
Great stuff on a pandemic and event planning. NCAA Final Four in women's basketball on the horizon? I think so. Leave it here. Today's big splash comes out of Atlanta, where Atlanta Hawks general manager Travis Schlenk said today that the NBA has told the league that the 2020-2021 schedule could be condensed in order to allow the league to remain as close as possible to its current schedule format. They're going to crunch it down, it looks like, and try to jam in last season and then this season. Training camp would open November 10th. Season would start December 1st. Our big splash. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to visit with Austin Meek.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.